Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the program. And this choosy thing is not going to die easily. You know, one of my pet peeves is like when all of a sudden, without knocking, someone decides during a break to just come in and you hear the doorknob twist and someone's coming in the studio. Well, it was Tyler.
Resident
drinker in the bunch, amongst many. And he comes in and says, Joel, you got to get the concept. The concept is the guys that drink beer, like Miller Lite, are the same guys that wear the New Balance bad shoes. I go, okay, but I'm not looking to run away in my shoesy. And all I need to do is, I don't need to make sure it can handle all terrain. I need to make sure it keeps the beer cold. And then I started thinking to a story that is beloved by my man Nick. That is the John Clay Wolfe story about how he found a guy cheating with his wife that only had one leg.
Oh, I love that story.
As I told Tyler, the only thing where this shoesy really becomes important is because he said, I don't think anybody's using it in case they have to run away. I'm like, au contraire. What if the guy that John Clay Wolfe beat the hell out of was actually having a shoesy on his peg leg? He could have run away faster.
Could have done like a forward lateral as he's running away from John Clay Wolfe. You could have just threw him the koozie. Then he just threw it on his little, I don't know, like metal leg or something maybe.
Could have pivoted quicker. Could have become like the human compass where he just plants that leg and then spins with the other one. He can almost make it like a judo kick where he plants the shoesy leg and then he swings around with the other one and he takes John Clay Wolfe out.
Oh, it would have been amazing. Instead, now he has to be traumatized from what John Clay Wolfe did to him all these years, and someone could have changed. We could have impacted his life for the positive, but no one thought of it. And it was too late.
And you know what? If he had the shoesy back then, oh, how things could have been different. And you don't have to drink beer to wear bad shoes. Again, I give you Exhibit A, Charlie Pulillo.
Does he drink? Yeah, I think I've asked him.
No, he doesn't have to drink beer. He wears worse shoes than those New Balance.
He probably drinks something more bougie than beer.
Those Air Mallwalkers that he wears are not exactly aesthetically pleasing.
No.
All right, so we've got plenty of news of the day. Red Sox still lead your Astros.
I'm trying to download a picture of Ralphie, by the way. That way we can get intern Ralphie in.
So Ralphie Fuller, otherwise known as Zachary Berger, our new intern who looks like he's right out of Christmas Story, is having a very eventful first day on the job, and therefore Nick wants to torture him. So I have made the very astute noticing that he looks like Ralphie from Christmas Story.
Yep, you did.
Nick is now ready to exploit that fact.
I do.
So
I do want to do that.
There is that.
Maybe in the next segment or the following.
Top of the sixth, one out. Red Sox lead your Astros 3-0. Jake Odorizzi gives up a 3-run bomb and can't get through the fourth inning. So it was first Anoli Paredes, now Christian Javier. Astros haven't been able to muster a whole lot, 4 hits, as they're trying to get back in this ball game and sweep the Red Sox, but not looking good at the moment. Tonight, you've got more NBA action. If you missed it in terms of the results from last night, you had some pretty decent games, and then not so much. Good game between the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers. Mavs win on the road. The road teams won all 3 games. Mavs lead the Clippers 3-2 in the series, heading back to Big D. Utah closed out the Grizzlies by 16. The Hawks closed out the Knicks 103-89, and the Wiz were eliminated by the Sixers, even without Joel Embiid, winning 129-112. Tonight you got 2 games, and I hate this because I look forward to these games. And then like the other night, I looked forward to that Lakers-Suns game, and it was a complete mess.
Yep.
But Denver-Portland saved me. we'll see what happens tonight, because the early game on TNT at 7 is Denver at Portland, followed by Phoenix trying to close out the Lakers. Hopefully those are two good games.
In regards to Portland, I just hope it's not a situation where Dame goes off and then his team loses. That's got to be disappointing. I'm sure he appreciates the fact that he scored 55 points and is one of the top scoring players in the playoff game, but that's got to be a tough pill to swallow when you don't get the dub, when your best player is just playing his ass off, 17 of 24 from three-point land. I mean, the guy, and the degree of difficulty, not to the level of Steph Curry, I would argue, but still just difficult three-point shots made over and over again. Hopefully that's not the case for Dame this year. And if you're just tuning in, there are reports of Chris Paul intending on not picking up that last year, his player option of the contract, which is $44 million that he could potentially be passing on in the event that he does pass up on that. Joel made a good point. The Lakers could be a destination for Chris Paul.
If he wants to pass money up for a chance to win a ring for that missing element to his career resume, that would be exactly what I could see happening here. So that's something to keep an eye on, because that's a whole lot of money I don't know that I could walk away from.
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, the guy's made probably over close to $200 million, at least over the course of the past 3 or 4 years, maybe 5. The guy has plenty of money in the bank. We talk about the sponsorships. We talk about the State Farm commercials. We talk about Chris Paul's likability. So I think he's fine from a financial standpoint. And if it's any time that you're going to pass up on a paycheck, it would be this point in your career. And so, let's see what happens.
Nicholas.
What?
Oh, my God. So we didn't look it up before, so I'll do us the service.
Sure.
Chris Paul's, oh, my God, estimated earnings for 16 seasons. Estimated. Now, you want to guess?
I'm going to say 380.
Close. Lower.
350.
I think you're over-exaggerating because of the last couple of years of the contract.
Yeah, I think I am. Okay, so how about 280?
Higher.
300.
In between.
290?
295.6.
That's still a lot of
money. Are you kidding me?
That's a lot of damn money.
You don't think you could make it on the rest of your life and your kids and everybody that you want to take care of?
With my drinking habits? Nah, I can probably drink that right up. I can drink $295 million in a
heartbeat. There's a reason why you're passing on 40 mil to get a ring. Because you got all the money you need for the, and your relatives need for the next couple generations. 300 mil.
Yeah, I'm in this team.
Good night. That's unbelievable.
I wish I had that problem, dude.
Yeah, me too.
God, I wish I had that problem.
Me freaking too. All right, and then this, Nick. We mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I don't think a lot of people paid enough interest in this. But when Vanessa Bryant and the Kobe Bryant estate walked away from Nike, and they contemplated making their own shoes and apparel, and they've actually applied for the patent and done some things, though they haven't done a whole lot with it. I said to you at the time, I don't think Nike's valuing how much going forward Kobe's name is going to be able to carry them. If you think, we know what the Jordan line is, but you think about even from what they're paying Kevin Durant for the KD and his line of stuff, and LeBron. Kobe's line was already a big deal, but when he passed away, every player started to pay more attention to paying homage by wearing the shoes.
Right.
Then it was more like everybody trying to be like PJ Tucker. Now it's one thing to wear the Kobe's. It's another thing. I got to get that unique colorway because I got to represent Kobe, but I want to be pulling out some shoes that people are going to say, your shoe game is tight.
Yeah.
Right? Well, now here's this. Evidently, before they decided to part ways, Vanessa Bryant was asked to help collaborate and create a Kobe Bryant shoe that honored her late husband and their daughter who passed away, Gianna. She did that. They were working on it. Nothing had been finalized in terms of the designs or the actual final shoe. It's now surfaced online in pictures, and she's not happy. So it's out there and people are looking at it, and it has Gianna's number 2. Uh-huh. It has the Mamba Academy logo on the back of the shoes. It has some unique features that you can immediately look at it and go, that's that shoe. That's something different.
Shouldn't she be upset?
Absolutely, she should. But again, if you're Nike, you got to be careful, because it's one thing now when she says it's surfacing online and I never approved it. That's a problem. Nike, you think you got problems? Someone found the picture. Chris Middleton in one of the Bucks playoff games was wearing that shoe.
Oh yeah. So now they're getting into lawsuits and stuff like that, and they don't want to deal with that. Look, I would say this. Nike is not going to go out of business in the event there's no association or partnership with the brand or with his wife. But what his brand could potentially do in terms of revenue and exposure would be great. Now you're dealing with a lawsuit. I feel like what the situation is, some important executive making decisions really aggravated Vanessa Williams.
Oh, no doubt. Or like, Vanessa Bryant.
I mean, Bryant, excuse yes. me. Like aggravated her bad. And I think she's like in a dark place with them right now, and she just doesn't like them. So the second anything comes off as, you know, wrong towards her, you know, the late Kobe Bryant, then I can see her firing back. And she's been vocal. I kind of like it. I kind of like people, her calling out. She's she's defending her husband who passed away. Like, I'm all for it. So here's
some of the backstory, right? So she did do the design. She said it was never agreed upon that she was going to release the shoe or make final sign off on the approval for the design of the shoe. There was an Instagram, Brandon1AN, who started putting out the pictures of the actual shoe that surfaced. They had to be very clear. Brandon had to come out and say, I want to be clear, I don't own a pair of these. Because evidently, if they were sold and that's how they were obtained, Vanessa's going to get paid regardless, and it's going to be a big deal. She later followed that up with social media posts in which she said that she made the shoe. She said, this is a shoe I worked on in honor of my daughter, Gianna. It was going to be the Mambacita shoe, exclusive black and white colorway on daddy's shoes. I picked the colors in honor of her uniform, the number 2 she wore just like her uniform, the inside pattern, Kobe and Gigi on the back.
She's
in
not
gold.
Letting this go.
Instead of Kobe's signature, the inside shoe details, butterflies, wings, halos. The Mambacita shoes are not approved for sale. I wanted it all to be sold in honor of my daughter. All the proceeds benefiting Mambacita Sports Foundation. But I did not re-sign the Nike contract. I did not okay them to sign these shoes. Please tell me if you have a pair and if you purchased them. And I'd like to know. Look the hell out,
get
Nike.
Get them, Vanessa.
Look the hell out.
Get them. Look, I would do the same thing. Look. The other side is this. At the end of the day, some of these players are not, you know, they're doing it just out of love for Kobe. So it's not really,
there's no
monetary goal here or incentive for these players. But at the same time, I can see why that would bother Vanessa.
So it's definitely an issue where there are going to be people that are wondering, well, why do you care? Why are you doing this? But look, Nike shouldn't be able to make money.
Absolutely not.
If they don't have an agreement with
the
family.
Not if it's not legal. Yeah.
So that's where the whole problem lies. Nike has yet to issue an official statement. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how it all plays out as we go forward. All right, Astros still trailing 3-0 on the update front there. We've got more show to get to. I don't know if Ralphie's coming on or not. That's up to Nick. But the bottom line
trying
is...
Trying to get the picture. If we do, we'll have intern Ralphie in studio. Ralphie, not the intern Ralphie, the real Ralphie from the Christmas story.
Right. So we'll continue to roll on with the final hour of the program. It's the Press Box ESPN.
Loot and Raid rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
A day late and millions of dollars short, California continues to try to be Texas. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, puts out the pandemic may be going away, but your to-go cocktails don't have to. California will now allow to-go cocktails and outdoor dining expansions to stay after we fully reopen on June 15th. Been there, done that, Gav.
It's called Texas.
It's what they do here.
As long as it's sealed, you can take it to-go, I believe, is the rule.
Oh, you will find no argument from me, kind sir, because I know if anybody knows that, it would be you.
Yeah.
I will not argue with you on that point ever.
Not sure if it's a good idea. I'm just saying it's a good idea.
Yeah, you're not encouraging it because we've encouraged enough jocularity and law breaking in the last month or two. We need to slow down on that.
Well, we've learned from some of our great listeners that some of them are great, honest people, and some of them are criminals. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't bring that criminal stuff over here, we're good.
I just don't want someone trying to take catalytic converters from cars at the, what do you call the bus place?
The park and ride?
Park and ride.
Yeah, that ain't
and
no
then
fun.
When they get questioned by police saying, well, I got the idea from the guys on ESPN 97.5.
No, that wouldn't be cool. But that idea has been around for so long.
Don't need all that.
And Toyota owners have been the victim of that for a very long time. So I'll give you the same warning. Toyota trucks, Tacomas, Tundras, certain 4Runners, certain year models. Mm-hmm. Very quick, very easy to steal your catalytic converter. You'll notice right away when you start it, and it will cost you a lot of money.
I don't need that.
Nobody needs that.
By the way, an actuator is something that I did not know that I needed, nor that I needed to know was going to cost me $500.
Sounds like a window.
It's the motor that runs part. The alarm in your car door.
Okay.
I noticed that my passenger car door wouldn't respond. You know, like if you touch the handle and it beeps and it unlocks. And it wasn't responding. And then I noticed you had to manually lock and unlock the door. And a buddy of mine said, oh, I had that happen to my car. It should be under warranty, one, which it wasn't. And it should have been. Two, it's just a quick fix for the dealership. Quick fix cost me $500.
Wow. That sounds about right.
That's a kick in the shorts.
I would have guessed $400 to $600. Now Man. We sound like the automotive reporter.
Yeah, well, we're here to help on all aspects of
Who's
life.
Who's the guy that does the automotive reporter? I forgot his name.
Harold
Gunn.
I'm Harold Gunn.
On this episode of the Automotive Reporter, we will talk about my very first vehicle, the Ford Model A.
Yeah. So,
great show, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I've never heard it. So, I was going to get to this earlier, but I wanted to bring it to your attention. Tomorrow is National Donut Day.
Okay? Ooh.
So, I know it's a big deal for a lot of people, especially the police force. But at the same time, I don't like to mix and match. I think it's kind of like salt and sugar. It's kind of like, you know, sweet and sour in a lot of ways. I'm not about some of that life. But you tell me if you're in or out. DiGiorno's Pizza is going to give away pizza donuts on Twitter for National Donut Day on Friday. Never in my life have I had the desire to mix pizza and donuts.
Agreed. I think that's a terrible combination. Why would you want that?
Right. I don't want a pepperoni with sprinkles.
Or maybe if you're a person who likes pineapples on your pizza.
I hate that.
Because it's kind of sweet. Or anything, any ingredient on your pizza that's potentially sweet. Maybe that kind of makes it a seamless transition. I think that's a terrible combination. I would not consume that at all.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that at all. But again, there are people that want bacon on their sweets. So there is, I guess, somewhat of a market for this. The donut from, you know, by the way, it's DiGiorno. They're calling it the DiGiorno. So.
Dude, they are not calling it that.
They absolutely they are. I can't make it up.
DiGiorno?
It's right here in front of me. The DiGiorno features a donut stuffed with mozzarella cheese and comes topped with signature DiGiorno sauce, even more cheese, and classic pizza toppings. Now, as long as there's not sugar and cake in the mix, it sounds like it's just a donut-shaped pizza.
Why, though? Why? I don't get it.
If you want to enter to win your own DiGiorno, tweet on Friday, June 4th, with hashtag sweepstakes to DiGiorno. I guess it's at DiGiorno.com. At DiGiorno's. Yeah, at DiGiorno's. Well, good luck to you if that's your kind of thing. I mean, I'm a little bit more apt to think that it might be okay if it's not a cake donut, if it's more of like a bread doughy donut. But even still, nah. Why mix the two? They're both successful on their own. I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. I don't understand it. I have no idea. But I'd be interested to see the sales on this, though.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to jump on board. The other thing, too, is like we were talking about with Lisa being vegan and me contemplating these, you know, some of the different options. And we were talking about all the different things that you have. Innovation, no. A company is making cheese patties you can throw on the grill, meaning to grill like make yourself a grilled cheese burger. So it's no burger involved. It's a cheese patty, basically as thick as a hamburger.
That's too thick, though.
And won't it melt quickly?
Not if it's thick.
Well, it's going to start to the surface of the actual...
Oh, like they're literally just putting the cheese on the grill and then they're putting it in between two hamburger buns?
So it's like the, you know, the Cheez-It commercial when they have those cheese wheels that they show the cheese comes from?
Yes, yeah.
It's essentially like a burger-sized version of that. And they're calling it the literally grilled cheese sandwich. I don't need that. If I want a grilled cheese, I make it on the stove with some slices.
I mean, considering your expertise in that department.
Love me some cheese now.
Why wouldn't you give it a shot and try it?
Because I think it'd be a mess. I think if you put that on the grill, all it's going to do is just bleed all over the coals and melt all over the place.
You think?
Yeah. And I don't need that thick of a piece of cheese.
I just don't understand how you're right. It would probably melt. I don't understand. Maybe I don't understand why you can't just put it in between the hamburger buns and then do it like a grilled
and
cheese.
And here's another thing that's disturbing about this, Nick. It says, we bet you haven't had a grilled cheese like this before. The Rougette Bonfire grilling cheese directly goes on your grill. Pretty much like a whole cheese patty. The special cheese rind keeps the outside crispy and golden while the inside stays warm and creamy. What's in the rind? Because I don't know that I want to digest that either.
I don't know.
So you have this cheese rind that keeps the outside able to be crispy. The inside is warm and creamy. And then they throw this in, which changes everything. The lactose and gluten-free product is vegetarian-friendly? No. Because no cheese ever made with gluten-free, vegetarian-friendly products tastes good, in my opinion.
Or should be on a grilled cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa gets this vegan cheese, and I just shake my head. She goes, when you shake your head, I go, that's a lie. It's not cheese.
She's more disciplined about it, though.
Absolutely, but that doesn't...
No, but when you say it's not cheese, you immediately think processed. She's probably eating a healthier version.
Any cheese, Nick, I don't think it's humanly possible to make a real cheese without, and also make it gluten-free and vegetarian-friendly. Think about it. There's fat in cheese. There's milk products. Cheese is milk and dairy products. I just don't know how it's possible. But if you want to check it out on Food Beast, they have opportunities for you to see it and cooking recipes that can be used with it. All right. We got 30 minutes to go in the program when we come back. Stick with us because we've got a half hour to go and a lot more of the show. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's the Press Box.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, to tie in the last story to the final half hour of the program and what we've been kind of teasing throughout, we have a new stable of interns. And you know, in the past, we've had our storied history of interactions with interns. Well, we're big on promoting the internship program and finding interns gigs. What we're not big on is new interns trained by the exquisitely talented trainer Tyler Scott. And then the first time you're ready for prime time, you misspell Matt Bullard's name on the big board. And you look like, as Nick is astutely playing the music, you look like Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
Have you seen The Christmas Story?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so he can at least say that he's seen The Christmas Story. I'm not really big on old movies that you haven't seen. I get grief for it all the time, so don't even worry about it. So
evidently, Nick, he's bigger on Christmas Story than he is on The Rockets because he didn't know who Matt Bullard was.
Yeah.
But here's how we tie it all in, too. Last segment, we were talking about the grilled cheeseburger. Now we're talking to a Zachary Burger.
Zachary.
This is Zachary Burger, who now forever has his time here with ESPN 97.5 Gal Media, is going to be known as Ralphie Fuller, is joining us. Ralphie, welcome to the program.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Also, I got to admit you for saying the last name right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get like Berger, Berger. People try and go French with it, you know?
But I mean, as it's spelled, I mean, you got to be all Nick Sciarra on them if you go Berger, Berger.
Yeah. So if someone approaches you and says, "Hey, Zach," like I just did about 5 minutes ago, do you correct them and say, "Hey, my name is Zachary"?
No. I mean, like when I tell someone my name, I'll go Zachary. Usually.
Okay.
But like, you know, with teachers and stuff, I leave it up to them.
Yeah, I wouldn't correct the teacher either.
Right, no, I mean, if someone calls
they'll flunk you.
Right. But if someone calls me Zach, I'm okay with going
but
with
when
that.
I asked you, you were very, very adamant in the fact that you are Zachary.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what I like to go by, you know? I mean,
you got to roll with what makes you feel comfortable.
I like to go personal full with it, you know?
Who was the personal coach? Full. It was Michael Malone. She said Mike Malone on the broadcast, but he corrected her and said, "No, my name is Michael."
See, no, I wouldn't do that. If I get asked, I'm going to say Zachary. But, you know, it's a common name. People call you Zach. People call you Zachary.
David Gal rolls by your desk and says, "What's up, Z-Dog?" You correcting him?
No. Well, I've had the nickname like Z, you know, too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so...
That's creative.
Yeah, right. But no, I don't correct anyone with the name. I just, when I'm asked, I'll say my name's Zachary.
All right, Ralphie, why us? Why interning with Gal Media? What are your career aspirations? What brings you to Gal Media?
Well, you know, I'm a huge baseball guy. I'm a huge sports guy in general. Playing?
Are you though?
Yeah, I know. Well, now, thanks.
You're not a Rocky guy.
I know. Not thanks, Matt Bullard. I'm not a Rocky guy.
Yeah,
but
blame him for your shortcomings.
Right? No. Yeah. No. I should say I'm a huge baseball guy, and I grew up playing. I don't play anymore, but I you know, it's one of those things where like I love the sport so much, I want to stick with it. Right.
Okay.
So I'm 17 for my high school team. I do stats now. And so just that whole sports media side of the career, I love.
So you haven't broken out of high school yet.
No, sir.
To be able to determine what your major is going to be and where you're going to go to school.
No, sir. I just finished my junior year. So.
Have you met Polillo yet?
But
he doesn't have the Polillo trait like Jake Asman.
No.
Though.
He doesn't know what school he's going to yet. This is what worries me. I don't want Charlie swaying him to Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
No. Don't do that and be stereotyped in the wrong way. Don't do that. You don't need all that. So do you think you're going to pursue broadcasting? You love baseball. You love sports. You're sitting in front of a microphone right now. You're working at a radio station as an intern. Is this something you're going to pursue as your career?
You know, it's definitely high up there. You know, sports media can be a very broad subject.
Could it?
Right?
I wasn't aware. Go ahead.
So, you know, there's definitely a bunch of possibilities. But, you know, I do enjoy doing this. I enjoy talking to Mike. I stream on Twitch even. Like, I enjoy talking about sports and talking about baseball.
You know that Nick Sciarra is a big video game player on
not a big video game.
You play the show?
Oh, he does.
Oh, yeah.
I've played the show. I play like games like Apex and stuff like that. But okay, what's your Twitch channel, man?
My Twitch channel is Zachberg 7, ZACBERG 7.
So your Twitch channel's Zach, but you prefer Zachary.
It's false
advertising, Zach, is what it is.
It really
exactly
is.
Exactly what it is.
If you want people to call you Zachary, bud, you can't put Zach on your Twitch.
Yeah,
bait
and switch, Zach. Not a good.
Are you
a good
gaming?
Thing to get
or are
into.
You talking sports on your Twitch?
I'm gaming, so I'm playing MLB The Show. Maybe a little bit of Call of Duty, but I'm mostly gaming right
so
now.
So are you really good at the show?
I mean, I'd like to think I'm pretty good at it, right? Definitely no top player, and but for sure I feel like I'm pretty good at it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So how are you in cold weather?
Cold weather?
Yeah. You from here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you ever put your tongue on a frozen stop sign?
No, definitely. I haven't.
That's not something that you...
No.
Okay, but you're aware of the movie, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
So you're still in high school?
Yes, sir.
So we're not doing a disservice. We're kind of doing a disservice for you. If any of your friends see this picture, now you're going to go back to school and they could potentially make fun of you. And that wasn't my intention. But you do have a very close resemblance to Ralphie from The Christmas Story. If you're just tuning in to the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, you can see Ralphie not only in studio but in picture form, all in good fun.
Nick, do you know of anybody else that's slight of build that's a massive baseball fan that keeps stats on a regular basis?
Oh, Polillo.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Since you're an Astros fan, buddy, what are your thoughts? Okay, so like the guy sitting next to you absolutely hates Miles Straw. What are your thoughts on Miles Straw?
You know, I think honestly, like when he came up as like a base runner. And I feel like they didn't almost train him enough to be that full all around player. I don't hate the dude. I think, you know, sometimes maybe his reads are iffy, but he makes up it with speed. With the speed, he makes up for it. I think he gets the balls. With the bat, I mean, he's doing, I'd say, okay. For who he is, I think he's doing okay right now.
Who is he?
You know, I see him as just a guy who's going to cover a lot of ground. You know, you got maybe
in the minor leagues. I don't mind him being as Nick knows, I don't mind him being your pinch runner your late inning replacement guy. I don't need him on a competitive team looking to get a title as your starting center fielder.
And honestly, right now, if I'm going into a playoff game, yeah, I'm not starting him. I'm putting with everyone healthy, I'm putting Brantley in left, and then I don't know too much on their insight, but between McCormick and Tucker, one of them right, one of them in center, because I think you're going to need the bats in a playoff scenario, and I see McCormick hitting playoff pitching better than Straw.
Bam! How about that? The guy says he likes baseball. He wasn't lying. Okay? Put some respect on his name.
So, most people are on board with Ralphie. Are you aware of Stuart Smalley?
Stuart Smalley.
Yes. You said it well, too. Stuart Smalley is the character on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You're going to have to Google that Al Franken did.
Okay.
Because what we might have to start doing, Nick, is daily affirmations with Ralphie.
I wouldn't mind it.
You know what? Just small little tidbits of positivity from our man Ralphie.
It could go a long way.
I think we got something here.
I think we do.
Daily affirmations with Ralphie could be a thing. Now, let me ask you this, Ralphie.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with Juggalo Trey?
He's only been here. How long have you been here?
This is third day.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, I can see why.
So there's work to do. So once he Googles Stuart Smalley to get an idea what he might be in for. I want you to get very well acclimated with one Juggalo Trey, because he has taken intern status and elevated it to the highest level possible of success within the Gal Media family. Oh, okay. This is something you could do.
Oh, okay.
So I need you to research that.
Yes, sir.
And then stay away from Charlie Palillo, because I believe the influence that he could provide with your interests scares me.
So you're in high school and got this. You look like your dad probably knows Mr. Gow or somebody important here. How did you get this gig, sir?
Honestly, reaching out.
Awesome.
If you don't mind me plugging a little bit, I have a charity. I have a foundation. I actually have a birth defect called lymphatic malformation, and I have a charity called Zach's Attack for a Cure.
Nice.
If you don't mind me saying the website.
Do it. Absolutely.
I know, right?
All right, but go ahead. Let the people know.
For the typing, you know, shorter.
Okay.
Zach'sAttack.com, ZACSAttack.com. And, you know, the one thing me and my dad both preach and talk about is reaching out, just asking. The worst you can get is a no. The worst thing you need is to know, right?
Perfect attitude.
And so,
bro.
I mean, that's how we've got some things. We got an anonymous donation to hang up a Zach's Attack sign at my high school baseball field because we reached out and asked.
So I
don't remember the specifics, but we did reach out to AJ, actually. We reached out to AJ.
You also got it through AJ.
Picked the wrong guy, but yep.
Right?
Yep.
Reached out to him. And then I do kind of know, yeah, sports media, broadcasting, talking, you know, MLB Network, the big, you know, dream. Yeah. It's something I'm interested in. And so
that's awesome.
So, yeah, we just reached out and he said, hey, go and give us a connect to Tyler. And so, yeah.
So that was your first positive affirmation with Ralphie. You got some positive.
I love it.
Nothing better than what he just told you.
Welcome to
the family.
Give it up for Zachary.
Give it up
Twitch.
For Ralphie.
Thank you.
Otherwise known as Zachary. Don't call me Zach. And also realize, Nick, that what Ralphie just said is spot on, because when Joe Smith says he wants to come in the game, Dusty Baker, all he's got to do is say no. It's the worst thing that could happen. But now it's the actual best thing that could happen because he's on the mound. All right, we've got 1 second to go on the show. Thank you, Ralphie. We'll see you again soon. And we'll wrap it up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So shout out for our man, Ralphie.
Good
Zachary
kid,
Zachary Berger.
Good, really good kid.
Good kid. And I think we got something here. I think we're going to do the... And no one saw the positive affirmation from Ralphie the way he wrapped it all up. But that was an outstanding start to what could be a long-standing part of the press box. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Good and head on his shoulders. Gets it. Has a good rationale. Has a good mentality. I like it. I like the kid.
And a lot of people jumping on board saying, I like the kid. I like Ralphie. Great job, guys. That was really nice of y'all. Good karma right there. That kid was well-composed for his age. I like his voice. Ralphie's getting a lot of positivity. And then there's this. I'll play Apex with you, Nick. I don't need your porn games getting into our text line, Nick. What you do in your spare time, one thing. But whoever wants to play with your Apex, I don't want to know.
I just don't. It's either the producer Nick or producer Nick is my Steam name. Well, I play on Steam.
Careful now. Are you doing what do you call background checks on these people before you play? Let them play with your
matter.
Apex.
It doesn't matter. Okay. You can play with my Apex anytime.
I'll pass, but evidently others are very much interested in the invitation.
Yeah, it's either producer Nick or the producer Nick, and I've been playing quite a bit, man. So I like that game. I like Fortnite. I struggle with. I can't compete with these kids, and they're going a million miles an hour on their keyboards, and I just can't compete. So Apex, I have a little bit of a chance.
What is Apex?
Apex is a game where you're on a team of two or three people, and there's a bunch of teams, and the last team standing wins. That's the whole objective.
Okay.
Shoot to kill. Last one to live wins.
Now, I gave Ralphie some homework. I told him he has to research Juggalo Trey.
He should.
Just like movie moments with Trey, we could have something here, but he's got to be very astute in knowing who stars are within our Gal Media family, and Juggalo Trey is definitely someone he needs to know. And then I told him that he has to research Stuart Smalley, because as much as he's got the Ralphie look, he's got the Stuart Smalley vibe in the way he talks.
He does.
So we've got something here. We're gonna have to Nick, what's your Xbox Live name?
I've retired from gaming consoles, and I only play on PC now, so I don't play with my Xbox anymore.
So you don't use controllers?
Only in certain cases. There's an Xbox controller or a PlayStation controller could be attached to your PC via USB, and you could play it with it that way.
Okay.
But I don't play with a controller unless I absolutely have to. Only very few games.
Okay. Yeah. Ayat says Apex is for Fortnite for senior citizens that can't keep up. Are you with that or against that? I mean, there's just, you know how they are. People are just going to chime
them have
in
a field
and take
day.
Their shots and have
now
fun.
I'm kind of worried about giving my Steam tag out, because now everybody's going to, I mean, I'm pretty, look, it's fun. I don't care. I mean, it's a fun game. I appreciate that game. When I want to let off some steam, I play Apex sometimes.
Shout out to Gary Cooper on Twitter, by the way, who found the exact New Balance shoe that was used to form the shoesie. And he tweeted us. I'm going to retweet this.
I will retweet that too. At the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel.
Never has ever anyone said, I need that in a shoe, let alone a koozie. But yet, it's been made by Miller Lite.
But Tyler gave you the backstory on it.
His backstory. He didn't research that. He said, no, he was putting two to two together. That logically, he said the dads that consume Miller Lite also wear shoes like this. He doesn't know that.
I don't know. Maybe he read it. I don't know. So he was just messing around with you, I guess?
I mean, don't bash Miller products. It could be any beer drinking dad might have shoes like that and walk
the
mall.
You're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I see where your defense is coming from.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing that out there. Unfortunately, I have bad news to deliver before the end of the program. The Red Sox now lead your Houston Astros 5-0.
They're not winning this game.
Bottom of the eighth. They're not winning this game. Someone said, you know what? They should have played Tucker. Seems like we started the show with that notion.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand the rest. I guess load management is necessary in Major League Baseball just as much as in the NBA, but I don't understand a kid that's that young who's on a roll and he's been struggling with his bat before this, and now you want to have him sit down for rest. I said Carlos Correa, I'm okay with that. Correa seems like a guy that even if you sit him down in the middle of a hot streak, I feel like he can come back for the most part and pick up right where he left off. Maybe he'll take a game or two, but I think he can do that. I don't understand why you do it with a guy like Kyle Tucker, but that's a decision that's made. And I think it's Taylor. Is it Taylor Jones in left field today instead of Yordan?
Yes.
What did you think of Yordan?
Yordan did okay. He only had a couple opportunities, but he did okay.
Yeah, I was going to say he didn't do as bad as I thought he would.
Doesn't change my opinion that he shouldn't have been out there against the Red Sox.
Agreed. Agreed, 100%. But maybe it's just a one-time thing. I don't know if it's something that's normal. And then I think Dusty said he asked Yordan if we needed him to play first base, that he might include first base. And I was like, I don't know about first base.
As long as you can get a glove that fits his body so that it's like the one that the mascot in Chicago caught the kid's first pitch yesterday. I mean, if he can use that kind of glove, I'd be comfortable
okay with
him there.
It?
Otherwise, I don't need him fielding ground balls and scooping balls out of the dirt at first base.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually going to pull the trigger on that. I haven't seen any like pre or post comments by Dusty. Maybe he is, but he said he asked Yordan. What is Yordan going to say? No, I can't do that.
But if you're AJ Hinch's Tigers, I'm throwing him out there at different positions just to see what he can play, because it doesn't matter. You're not winning the division or getting to the playoffs. If you're the Astros and you're playing a really good playoff contending team like the Red Sox, I don't need to be experimenting. I don't like taking hot bats out of the lineup. I don't like putting guys in unnatural positions for them currently and moving them to the outfield. Maybe later against lesser teams, I'll take a swing at it. Not now.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. I don't get it either. But
well,
look,
I don't get it, but
that's just the way he wants to play.
That's why we do what we do, because not everybody's going to agree with us, and people talk in sports from time to time. You know,
sometimes we don't talk sports.
Hey, by the way, the worst kept secret at Texas A&M over the years, Nick, is now finally out. I know this is really gonna become as a shock to you.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Manziel says he made somewhat of a decent living selling autographs during his days at A&M.
Oh no!
But he never took a dollar till after he won the Heisman in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it okay?
I just think it's BS.
He did an interview with Barstool Sports detailing his transactions that netted him $33,000. He says, we're doing it all sneaky. We don't want to get caught. We're trying to learn from everybody else who's got caught, Manziel said during the interview. I may or may not have gone back to this guy's condo and signed probably 10,000 pieces. He gave me $3,000. Well, he got a deal.
That's really cheap.
Yeah. Manziel said on another occasion, an individual approached him during an autograph signing session and told him he was getting ripped off, then offered to connect him with a real guy who would pay him $30,000. So this guy's like, all right, go to this room at the Fountain Blue Hotel. All the stuff's going to be laid out there. Just sign it all. When you're done, send me a picture of it. I'm going to give you a code to a safe, and the money's going to be in there.
What?
And he cashed in.
So is A&M worried about this story?
Aggie fans should be. The NCAA investigated Manziel before the start of his sophomore season, but said there was no evidence the former star quarterback received payment for signing autographs. And he said, I made somewhat of a decent living in college. He says, I dare the NCAA to take my effing 9-4 season away and my Chick-fil-A bowl against Duke. And because he's all claiming that they can't take the Heisman away from him because he didn't do this before he won the trophy. When asked during the interview what Manziel would say to the NCAA if they attempted to strip him of his Heisman, he said, I never took a dollar until after I won it.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm allergic to bullshit.
It's not good, man. If you're the Aggs, I don't know that you have to have great concern, but I'd still be somewhat concerned. And I think if you're the NCAA, this is why you just got to push for allowing some of these players to use their name and likeness to be able to cash in a little bit, because otherwise what you're going to find out is they've been doing it for years.
They're going to find a way. They're going to find a loophole.
They've been doing it for years. And look, if it's all cash transactions like he just explained to you, which I'm sure it is, it's going to be hard as hell to try and track someone down with evidence that you can actually use in a court of law.
They'd be dumb if they did like a wire transfer or Cash App or Venmo and have some sort of documentation. But he'd be an idiot if he took anything else besides
cash. Randy Moss, brother. Straight cash, homie. As long as it's straight cash, ain't no catching them. Special thanks go out to our man Ralphie, new intern Zachary Berger, who may or may not be a part of the show going forward in some degree on a reoccurring segment. But as it is, you guys are a part of the show on a reoccurring basis. We love you for it. For Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next with special guest host Patrick Creighton right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.